Welcome to the Flourish Heights podcast, made for women by women. I'm your host, Valerie Adjamine, women's health dietitian and the founder of Flourish Heights. To be empowered in health starts with a true connection with your body. Together, we are breaking through topics surrounding periods, women's nutrition, body awareness, self-care, and much more. Let's flourish and be the best version of ourselves. Welcome to our special International Women's Day episode. Yay! I want to start off by saying happy International Women's Day to you, our listener. Don't forget to show love to all of the women and girls in your life. Today, let's celebrate the remarkable achievements of women around the world and reflect on the limitless potential within each of us. And I love this quote from Michelle Obama, my girl. She says, "There is no limit to what we as women can accomplish." And oftentimes we do limit ourselves, but today is a reminder, today and every day really, is a reminder that you are badass, okay? You are fierce and you are powerful. So let's embrace courage in the face of uncertainty and adversity. And I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I want to empower you to channel that fearless spirit that lives within you. And lately, I've been holding on to Cher's words of, yes, Cher, Cher's words that I stumbled on a video on TikTok out of all places. And she says, if it scares you, do it. And today I'm in conversation with Maria Bush, who is a mental health therapist and owner of Worthy-ish, where her mission is to create spaces to strengthen and empower individuals to rediscover and nurture their self-worth. Now, Maria has graced us with her presence a few years back in one of our Instagram Live girl chats where she shared tips around boosting confidence. And I'm so honored to have her back again, this time on our podcast show where we are talking all about self-advocacy, which I thought was the perfect topic to address for Women's Day. Okay, now I'm not going to waste any more time. This is a special one. So please sit back, grab a glass of something, and happy listening. Oh my goodness, Maria, I am so happy you are joining the Flourish Heights community again for a conversation on International Women's Day, which, oh my gosh, so exciting, all about advocating for ourselves. Thank you so much for coming.
Yes. Thank you so much, Valerie, and I appreciate your listeners and all your followers for tuning in. I think this is so important and important topic for us to discuss today. So I'm just so grateful and honored for you to have me on your show. So thank you.
You're honored. I'm honored. I'm so happy you could do this. And I feel like what better day than today to actually have this conversation, because I think, yeah. I mean, I've had this podcast for a few years now. We've talked about all kinds of topics, but one topic we have not touched on is how to advocate for ourselves as women. And I feel like this is probably one of the hardest things to do. I know for me, it hasn't always been the easiest for me to step out and to have a voice. And I feel like within the past few years, I've been able to do that. So I just know we have some listeners here who would appreciate this conversation on how to actually do it. And I can't wait for you to share your insights. But before we get in, Maria, I would love for you to start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Maria Bush. I'm a licensed professional counselor, mental health service provider, as well as a approved licensed supervisor. So I have been in the mental health field for 18 years now. I can't believe I'm saying that. it's been so long, but I own a private practice that is Kindness Connexus Therapy Services, where we provide therapy services virtually and in person to individuals 10 years older and up, as well as couples. We work with folks that are struggling with depression, anxiety, anger that impacts their ability to make decisions, low self-esteem, low self-worth, substance abuse issues, physical pain issues, troubled relationships. And so my heart and passion is working specifically with girls and women specifically around self-worth. And so this topic that we're going to be talking about today is really near and dear to my heart, because part of advocating for ourselves, we have to know that we're worthy. We have to know that we're valuable. Despite what we do and what we don't do, what we bring to the table, what we don't bring to the table, just our just total existence, we are worthy of care and love and support. And so I also have am the host of Worthy-ish. It is a podcast that's dedicated to individuals who are struggling with self-worth as well. And also have two, I'm the author of two journals around self-worth and how to repair your self-worth after broken relationships, or you're someone who had a troubled childhood. These journals will help teens and adults to work through and rediscover their self-worth.
And I love that you have a whole entire podcast show on called Worthy-ish. That is amazing.
Yes. Thank you. It is awesome. I truly enjoy it. And the folks that are the guests that I have on the show, I'm just so grateful for them to be vulnerable and transparent, because we all struggle with it, right? Sometime in part of our lives where we forget who we are and where we come from and how valuable we are. And so I just appreciate each guest that comes on and just opens up and tells their story.
Well, I mean, it definitely takes a lot of courage to do that. And, you know, I love that you also started off by reminding us that, yes, we are worthy, each and every one of us. And so with thinking about advocacy or just self-advocating, what comes to mind? What are things that we should know? What does it even mean? And why do you think it's important to talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the first thing, you know, I think about is self-advocacy. When I think about advocacy, I think us as women, we tend to often downplay ourselves and minimize our accomplishments. We tend to minimize our skills. We tend to minimize our needs, our wants, our desires, all for the betterment of others. We put others before ourselves. Especially me being in the mental health field and being a therapist, I have colleagues and I also work with folks that are in the helping field that tend to be the martyr. It's looked at to a good idea to, or it's best to be the martyr of the situation and lay down your life and sacrifice. But all while you're forgetting about yourself and you lose yourself. And so when I think about self-advocacy, I really think about us taking that power back and making sure that we're a part of the equation as well, too, the people that we're serving and we're loving on and we're being kind to every day. We're also showing ourselves that own that same kindness.
So when I think of women's health, and, you know, I'm in this space, I specialize in it, I interview all sorts of women's health experts. We know the topic of women's health is very stigmatized. It's taboo. And yes, we're hearing people talk about it more, which is amazing. We got people talking about menopause and perimenopause and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I love this. But I think, you know, it's still something that keeps people in their box, in their little bubble. And so how do societal stigmas around women's health topics impact women's willingness to seek medical care or even discuss their health concerns openly?
Yeah, that's so important, Valerie. You know, so stigmas can make women feel ashamed, embarrassed about their health issues, which I've seen leads them to avoiding seeking help and discussing their concerns openly. I find some clients have challenges opening up about sensitive topics like sexual transmitted diseases, hair loss, eating disorders, menopause, reproductive health, and of course, mental health. And I believe women may fear being judged or labeled negatively if they talk about certain health topics, which I believe can discourage them from seeking that help and being open about their own experiences. And I think also, you know, discrimination and mistreatment is also part of that. And I think all of that can lead to delay in access to care. And so, I think about that, and I, you know, some of my clients have lack of awareness too about certain health issues, that they don't know how to recognize symptoms, or they're so busy that they put that on the back shelf, right? And so if they have palpitation, heart palpitations, or their skin is starting to be really dry, or they have a pain in their side, they just keep pushing. They're like, I have to go to work. I have to take care of my family. I have to answer this person or that person. And they tend to ignore those signs, which can lead to more detriment issues later on, and more timely medical help. And, you know, a lot of things too is stress.
Oh, yep. We know that one too.
Yes. And so they're going, just these societal stigmas can really impact women's ability, again, to openly discuss their health concerns. And like I said, it could potentially lead to delays in that diagnosis and that treatment.
It's hard too, to kind of like break that cycle when you just, that's all you know to do. You got to keep going. It's what you were taught. It's what you saw. It's like, how do I then turn over things to myself? How do I prioritize maybe certain things that I may be experiencing that I know, oh, maybe this is not normal, but it's okay. Got to keep going.
Yes. You know, I think that for me, just sharing, to be open, transparent, I had an experience in high school where I had migraines. And one thing, my mother, she worked in a clinic for over 20 something years. And so she told us and taught us, you, whatever it is, if it's, you're not sure about it, go to the doctor. And so that is something I took with me, which was, you know, go and check on myself. And so I went to my primary care physician. They prescribed me multiple headache medications. They didn't work. I got to the point where the migraines became debilitating, and my primary care physician ended up referring me to a neurologist. And ended up getting two spinal taps, which spinal taps is when you have this large needle stuck in your spine to draw fluid off your back. And so, which
Jeez,
in
that sounds
turn,
awful.
It was, and it turned into me having severe anxiety attacks,
Wow.
because I did not know what the heck was going on, and they didn't know what was going on. And so for me, I felt like I was just being tossed from doctor to doctor, and I felt like they were just trying to give me medications to fix it and to put a band-aid on it. But I had to continue, when we talk about advocacy and being able to pay attention to our bodies, you know, we have to really get uncomfortable and stand up and ask questions and be aware of your rights and be aware of what you have access to. And so I ended up going to my eye doctor. Ended up having my exam, and ended up being a swollen optic nerve.
Oh, wow.
That
Who would have thought?
After 2 years of going through this,
Oh my
as a
gosh.
teenager, ended up being a swollen optic nerve, and I ended up getting treated for it. And so I just want to encourage the ladies and those, you know, listening, just pay attention to your body. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you're afraid to go by yourself, you know, have a friend go with you. Maybe share with your doctor or nurse that you are afraid, that you have some anxiety about going to a hospital or going to the doctor. I have many clients who have had traumatic experiences in the hospital, and so they do not want to go near or even drive past a hospital. And so I really encourage them to connect with a friend, connect with someone that doesn't mind to go with you. Or just share your concerns and your anxieties and nervousness to your nurse or to the doctor, so they're aware of that.
First of all, thank you for sharing your story, because I think that is encouraging. And I'm sure so many listeners can relate to maybe a health issue they've had, and they push through to find out what exactly is going on. And I'm sure now, Maria, you're feeling better because you were able to find some treatment, and maybe you're not experiencing those debilitating migraines like you were before.
Yes, I'm not. I'm a lot better, and now I have empathy for clients and folks I meet who struggle with it or have similar experiences. I can share my story with them and let them know it's going to be okay. And to continue to advocate for yourself and put yourself first, because it will work out in the end. And nobody knows what you're experiencing. My family didn't know what I was experiencing. They didn't know the pain I was going through. I missed school. It impacted my relationships. And so it was a time. But to be on this side of it, again, I advocate and I encourage women to really take care of themselves.
So can you break down for us women who are maybe like in their shells? Maybe, I don't know if that's a way to put it, but like it for people who are more like intimidated or feel intimidated or uncertain about speaking up for their health concerns, you know, because certain personalities may not be so like, oh, you know, like trying to figure things out. Let me go and, you know, talk to my doctor or call someone up or, you know, or even reach out for support. That's, you know, it's not always easy to do that. So can you break down like a few tips that could be helpful for women kind of like dealing with those kinds of challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for women who may feel intimidated or uncertain about speaking up for their health concerns, I really encourage them to educate yourself. Learn about your health concerns so you can speak more confidently with your healthcare providers about it. Google is a thing. So being able to learn about your own body and being able to pay attention, I really encourage, and this is what I even do with my own children, is to keep a journal of your symptoms. Keep a journal of every day when you feel certain things, where you felt it, what time was it, what were you eating right around the time? Did you try something new? Was there a new fabric softener that you used that day? Just really being self-aware and mindful so that they're not telling you what you don't know already about your body. So you can be very clear and articulate that in a more confident way. And then prepare yourself ahead. Again, asking while you're writing down those symptoms, write down questions, concerns. Maybe you shared with a friend or a family member about your symptoms and they have questions too. And that's made you think about things differently, just so that you're not overlooking things. Go ahead and write it down. If for folks that are dealing with anxieties or nervousness about talking to a doctor, write down what you want to say and pull out that piece of paper and read it out loud. That's okay. The important thing is communicating to your doctor or your healthcare provider about what's going on, because if we don't know what's going on, we don't know how to address it, right? And then another thing too is seeking the support, bringing a trusted friend, a family member to your appointments for that extra support is very important too. And then again, remembering that you have the right to ask questions. I know that we get into these appointments and some doctors feel like you seems like they're in a rush. And so it's okay to ask questions and seek clarification. Like, this is your health, and this is one of the most important things in your life is your health, right? And so even if it requires you to get a second opinion, I encourage that. That's something in my experience I had to do. I had to get a second opinion about what was going on with me. And so you have the right to that. And then finding a supportive provider, being able to find a provider that you feel comfortable with, who listens to you, who listens to your concerns, who treats you with respect, because good Lord, I've had some providers that it seemed like they minimized what I was trying to say or made you feel like, you know, what you didn't say, what you said was not important, and what you have to say is important. So it's important to have the right supportive provider. And knowing that you have the right to look for another provider if this one's not working. And then practice self-care. Self-care is so important. And even if you can't do the long baths or the long vacations, the weekends, the little mini vacations by taking your food off away from your desk at lunch and sitting in your car and eating, that's a getaway, right? That's self-care, being able to... Still away, yes.
Eating in my car. I need those few minutes to myself. Don't bother me.
Yes. Absolutely. That's that little mini vacation. And it's so important to managing that stress that I talked about a little bit earlier, and then that promoting overall well-being, because we take care of so many people. We have to take care of ourselves. Women are prone to high stress, and then we're prone to heart attack and heart disease and all these different things from the result of long periods of stress that we've not tended to. And so it's important to find ways to manage that stress.
This was such great information, and I really loved the point you made about like see getting a second opinion. Because I think oftentimes you feel like you have to just get stuck with whomever, and like you don't. You can divorce your healthcare provider. You can divorce them. This is a reminder. If you aren't being treated how you want, if you don't feel good about the information they're sharing with you, you don't like how they're speaking to you, you can absolutely divorce your provider. Okay.
Absolutely. Listen.
Oh my goodness. And so, I'm wondering, how can women navigate conversations with their healthcare providers to just ensure their voices are heard, their concerns are addressed? I mean, you shared this a little bit, like asking questions, writing things down, which I think, super helpful. Is there anything else that you want to say about that?
Just reiterating the same thing earlier, but just really iterating that by taking an active role, in your healthcare and communicating with your providers, we can, really increase our likelihood of receiving that appropriate care and having our needs met. And so it's really taking our power back versus feeling like we don't have any power. I think it's so important. So again, just advocating, asking those questions, seeking clarification if you don't understand, seeking that support, writing things down in a journal, tracking your symptoms, also bringing that trusted friend, researching. And then also another thing I didn't mention, discuss any cultural personal factors influencing your health. What are some things culturally that are impacting your health as well too? Is it, I had some years ago a pastor who had fasted for long periods of time, and that in turn impacted their health. And so we don't think about those things. And so I think it's really important to talk and communicate that as well too.
Thank you for sharing that. So I just very briefly, can you just share a few things that health providers can do on their end to support this process, for their patients who are, just looking to advocate for themselves a little bit? What can providers do to make it a little easier for their patients? I mean, we may have some listeners in here who might be doctors and therapists and nurses and all, what have you, but love to hear if you have anything to share with them.
I'm big on education and awareness. So definitely promoting education and awareness about women's health issues. Specifically, I'm working with a lot of women in their late 30s and their 40s going into menopause and what perimenopause looks like. And so educating ourselves on our bodies and being aware of that and bringing it to them. Sometimes we look for them to come to us, but sometimes we have to meet people where they are. And so doing workshops, sending information and to the workplace or to the schools or colleges, college campuses, even to our elementary schools, middle schools. These are really a good age to start teaching kids about children about their bodies and being well aware, self-aware of their bodies as well too, and being able to start advocating for themselves now. Then advocating for policies that support women's healthcare needs. Thinking about women who are working women who have children. Thinking about implementing mental health days, right?
Yeah,
Instead of
gotta have
having to
those.
take a Instead of having to take a sick day, let's implement a mental health day, encourage open conversations about health and destigmatize sensitive topics, like I said earlier, STDs and menopause and reproductive health issues, and then provide access to affordable, quality healthcare services. so many women who don't know their rights when it comes to and what they have access to. So accessing their employee assistant program, accessing short-term disability, even for mental health conditions, knowing what you have access to at your job. I mean, you're paying for these benefits, and I encourage my clients to utilize them. And then also fostering a culture of respect, inclusivity, and an empathy in our healthcare settings. We are serving folks that come from different walks of life, and just being sensitive to that, right? And most importantly, to take care of yourselves, providers, especially after the pandemic. We're still dealing with things post-pandemic, and you have to take care of yourself. We can't pour from an empty cup. And so I really encourage providers in the healthcare system and just the helping field to make sure you prioritize yourself so that you can be effective in meeting the needs for your clients and your patients.
Love all of that. Such great information. So Maria, in conclusion here, how can we work towards creating a future where all women feel empowered to prioritize and advocate for their health without fear of judgment or discrimination?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to, making sure that we prioritize, I'm going to harp on mental health, prioritizing mental health and well-being in all aspects of society, and then also addressing systemic inequalities that affect women's access to healthcare. There's so many layers to it, but you may feel like there's so many things that to address, but you can start where you are. And so if you are in an office working with other women, just the open conversations makes a difference. That in itself makes a difference, because you don't know who she knows and who that man knows and who they're connected to, and they can have conversations with other people. And so the smallest thing can make the largest impact.
Ladies, you heard it from the best, Maria. She is incredible, as you heard. And just a reminder on what she said, you are worthy. And I hope that you remember that today and every day. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining. So I have one last question. We ask this to all of our special guests who join the show. And that is, how do you flourish?
Oh, awesome. So I love that question. Yes. So, over the years, just being a person that loves people and loves helping, I had to learn how to slow down and practice mindfulness for myself. I think a lot of times we are driven by the urgent and we miss the important, and we end up being unhappy. And we look for the solution everywhere else, but really the solution is within us. And so I myself had to learn how to be more present in the moment, because, certain things that were important to me was being ignored. And so for me, it's spending time with family, making sure that I am exercising, being physical active, and doing the things I truly enjoy as well too, that which is connecting with others and then also connecting with nature. Self-reflection is really big for me too. Our world is not designed for us to pay attention to those things. Our minds are trained to constantly scan our environment for danger, to solve problems, to take care of children, be a caregiver, to hustle, think about retirement, what we're going to eat today, right?
All right. That's important. You guys know me as a dietitian. Got to know that.
Yes. And so just really stopping and just being present in the moment. So that is putting down the phone for me and just being present in conversations like this and just really being intentional. So, yes.
You are a gem, Maria. I love listening to you. So I know our listeners are going to enjoy hearing all of your tips, your insights. This was amazing. Thank you so much. And happy International Women's Day to you.
Yes, happy International Women's Ladies Day to you as well. I truly appreciate you and I'm so proud of you. I'm
Oh my
honored to
goodness.
even know you, the work that you are doing. Just know that it is making an impact, whether you know it or
My
not.
God.
And so keep doing what you're doing, keep shining bright.
Not
Yes.
me getting chills. I was not expect. I'm like used to being on. I'm the one that's like, all power to you, girl. So hearing that from you means a lot to me. I want you to know that. Thank you so much, Maria. You're the
No,
best.
I appreciate that. You are too. Yes.
Wow, ladies. That's all I can say. And I know you feel empowered just as much as I do. And I hope this only makes you understand truly that you deserve better and that life is amazing when you lean into that power inside of you. Advocating for yourself starts now. Thank you so much for tuning into our special Women's Day episode. If you enjoyed listening, take a second to leave a few stars, write a lovely review, and share this episode with a woman in your life. I really appreciate you for being here. We'll talk soon, but until then, keep flourishing.